Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Grand Marshal Robbie G in the house, baby. Just got finished doing my duties, waving to all my fans throughout the Boston Marathon course. And now I'm here at Fenway Park, throwing out the first pitch. Huge shout out to the Boston Red Sox. Let's go.
Here's the pitch, and it is straight into the dirt, deliberately. You know, that's a great strategy. When you're known for spiking the ball, spiking anything and everything,
it's on brand.
It's a great way to avoid having to do the 50 cent just a bit outside first pitch. So the only first pitch Gronk could ever do, the spike straight into the ground, which is better than desecrating trophies. Remember that 5 years
I
ago?
I do, yes.
With the trophy. He took the bunt
playing baseball
off of the Lombardi Trophy.
Right.
The pitch from Edelman, the bunt, it left a big, giant divot in the trophy. So at least nothing was destroyed yesterday, because he did spike a football at the Boston Marathon finish line after hoisting the trophy. Thank God he didn't spike the trophy. It's Gronk. So Gronk doing Gronk things back in Boston. And, you know, I couldn't help but wonder, Chris. Because
he's everywhere.
We haven't talked about this.
Yeah.
Because this happened Thursday, I think, and obviously hammock, pina colada, blunt for you on Friday. But Tom Brady just spontaneously drops the proverbial.
Yeah.
I think this is 2 days in a row that I will have used the turd in the punch bowl line here on PFT Live.
I know. I saw this. Yep.
Have a donut, please.
Right.
Suggesting that he might come back. He wouldn't be opposed to coming back and playing late in the season for a contender who loses a starter. Now, I view that as Tom Brady basically saying, if you're interested, why don't you go ahead and make a phone call? Yes, a phone call to me, because I'm letting you know that I want to play.
And why doesn't he just say it? Why does he have to do all that if that's what he wants?
Because he doesn't want to get embarrassed if nobody calls. Because he doesn't want to get embarrassed if he says, I'm unretiring. Anybody, anyone... Hello? McFly?
Gosh.
Anyone?
Gosh.
So he drops this hint, and it's the dance, don't you think? It's the dance. It's the way that Tom Brady would do the dance. Oh, I wouldn't be opposed to coming back late in the season. And if anybody calls me now, maybe I'll talk to them. My whole point is this. If he would go back to the Patriots, because he specifically mentioned the Raiders and the Patriots, as if the Raiders or the Patriots will be contenders late in the season, but who the hell knows? We thought the Texans wouldn't be last year. My point is this. If he goes back to the Patriots, if he goes back, wouldn't he try to bring Gronk with him? And isn't this the perfect reintroduction of Gronk to Boston 5 years after he was there winning a Super Bowl and then retired in 2019, went to Tampa in 2020. I mean, he hasn't played for the Patriots since he put the divot in the trophy 5 years ago.
No,
so I can't help but wonder whether Brady would be willing to go back and whether he'd be able to get Gronk to go back there with him.
All right, well, help it, okay? Help it. Don't wonder, okay? All right, let's not go there. I don't want to see it. I don't know. I mean,
why?
I don't know, because it's over. Like, go on. Move on with life. We're
then
47.
Why did he do it?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why he doesn't. I don't know. I don't. I really don't. It's the first thing I question. Why? What? Why even say this? Why do this to Fox, who you're going to announce games? Why are you going to do this to your partner?
I don't think he wants to do it.
Apparently.
I don't think he wants to announce games. I think he's looking for a way out.
And maybe.
I said, he's working so hard. He's doing this. He's doing that. And he may be realizing in the process that it's not as easy as it looks. And, I'm going to get criticized by a lot of people.
Get him.
No matter what I do,
the GOAT
I'm
going
to have to deal with social media.
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to social media. Bullshit, you don't pay attention to social media. Everybody does. He's going to be tormented by the fact that he doesn't walk right through the door and everybody fawns all over him. He feels it coming. He's looking for a way out. That's my theory. I think he's been looking for a way out for a year.
Maybe.
That's just my theory. It's just my idea.
Right.
Hey, Twitter bot accounts, don't twist and warp my words, okay, again. All I'm saying is I've had this idea that he really doesn't want to jump out of the plane. He's got the parachute on. The goggles are down. He doesn't want to jump out of the plane. That's just my thought. And if he comes back and plays, he doesn't have to. And, you know, Chris, between trying to own a piece to the Raiders, thinking about coming back during the season, would you welcome him into your building if you're an NFL team? This guy's got you know, conflicts up the wazoo. He's trying to buy one of the teams. He may be playing for any of the teams, depending upon who gets injured during the season. I don't want him poking around my building, talking to my players and learning my secrets if I'm going to have to compete with him at some point.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's going to have to make sure he's, you know, he is pretty upfront about I'm going to be professional, right? I mean, that's going to be the big thing. He's definitely going to get the side eye in the building because of some of those connections. And I think what helps him actually is that, like, guys like Josh McDaniels are no longer a head coach, and Bill Belichick's not a head coach. So those people that he might pass along information that he learned in a meeting or whatever, they're not there anymore. That might help to kind of, like, just calm that down with, you know, coaches he's going to visit in certain facilities or whatever there. But hey, it's part of the test, right? I mean, that's part of what you do is can you get these coaches to talk to you and open up and trust you and you know, be in that frame of mind or in that certain spot for that coach that they can open up and then tell you about football. I know my dad ran into it a few times through his years at CBS, right? Where, hey, he had great relationships with certain coaches, but when Bill Parcells was coaching and he was doing that game, teams were definitely like, wait, I don't know if Phil should be in the building today, right? Because it's Friday practice, it's a big practice, and we know Phil is close with Bill. And he definitely had a few of those type of things that went on where he couldn't watch a Friday practice and he wanted to be like, come on, guys, like, I'm making all this money. I'm not doing my job by cheating people and telling people secrets. Come on. But, yeah, that's what happens, and he'll have to be careful of that, Brady, for sure.
That's interesting. I didn't know that because I've always been curious how
I'll give you even better one. I'll open it up even more. All right. I'll open it up even more. I was not going to use the names specifically, but we're so close to them. I feel like I can do this. Now, Mike Shanahan, 1998 AFC Championship game. Who were they playing? Bill Parcells and the New York Jets, right? So that was the first time it had happened to Dad. He's all getting ready, championship game, blah, blah, blah. He gets to practice on Friday. And even though him and Mike had a great relationship, Mike was like, oh, damn, I don't know. He's really close with Bill Parcells, closer to him than me. And they didn't let, you know, they tried to kind of get a, hey, we're closing practice today, blah, 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 all this type of stuff, right? But they tried to massage it gently. But, yeah, that was one, and there was, you know, I think one or two after that too.
And 1998 would have been before you knew Kyle. Am I
correct? Yeah, right. I would have not known Kyle yet. I didn't meet Kyle for another two years. Right.
So,
right.
When you met Kyle, did you say to Kyle, tell your dad I said hi?
No, I did not. I did not. I didn't. I do think it came up, though, fairly early on with my dad and Coach Shanahan, you know, at a Texas gathering that we had down there. And I do think my dad brought it up. Like, hey, you didn't let me into practice that one time because you thought I was going to tell Parcells whatever. And you know, they're two peas in a pod now. But it's a very real thing, especially when you're fresh out of the game and you still got fresh relationships with old coaches that you know, those are deep relationships that mean something. You know, those are definitely going to perk up the opposing coach to kind of watch for what they say to that broadcaster.
But let's put this in the proper context. Okay, you've got a situation where 5 years after Phil is gone, there's still a concern that he's going to share things with Bill Parcells. Tom Brady is actively trying to buy 5-10% of the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, Fox doesn't do a lot of AFC games, so it's not like he's going to be walking into the Chiefs facility on a regular basis when they're thinking about the Raiders.
That's right.
So that's less of a concern. But now that he has said, well, I wouldn't be opposed to somebody calling me during the season if there's an injury and I could come back and play for a contender, he's potentially landing anywhere. Whoever you are, you may be dealing with Tom Brady in a key regular season game, in a playoff game. You just don't know. And think of this, Chris. Anytime a quarterback gets injured this year, look at how many injuries there were last year to quarterbacks. Yeah. Anytime it happens this year, his name's going to come up.
It is now.
He's going to be calling a Fox game, and a quarterback's going to get injured, and Kevin Burkhardt is going to have to say to him, hey, Tom, are you interested?
Are you leaving me, Tom? Are you going to leave me? Yeah. Right. Are they a contender enough? I mean, you're right. I think we're all going to – that is why – you know, and again, maybe your pasta and meatballs guts are right. But when he said it last week, I just was like, why say this? You know, why? You know, this
there
is
are
what,
no accidents.
I mean,
there are no accidents.
I hear
not
you there.
With him.
I hear you there. Damn, I saw a video where he says there is no accidents recently. He was on the streets in New York and somebody asked him something like that. That was one of his quotes. But yeah, I was a little surprised to hear that. I will say that. I will. And I'm sure it perked Fox's ears up a little bit as well.
I didn't see that video. Now I'm going to have to go find it.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think that when you're operating at the level he's at, when you've had the success he's had, when you have all the choices available to you, and you've got a PR team that you have access to at any given moment, whoever it is that does the social media or whatever, how would I go about doing this? What would be the right way for me to crack the door open about a possible return? Hey, go on this podcast where you're sitting there with the barber thing on and just kind of blurt it out and let's see what happens, you know? And you know, if it falls flat, he can say he was joking.
Yeah, I hear
you. He can
you.
Say, oh, I was just loose. I was having fun. You know, I didn't really mean it if nobody calls. So anyway, and as Pete points out, Drew Brees had never talked about the possibility of returning, yet Sean Payton still gave him a call when Sean Payton was desperate for quarterback. So,
yeah,
look, you've got Brady who's turning 47 on August 3rd, and I'm really depressed that I know his birthday. He's 47 on August 3rd, but as you've said before, the arm is still going to be there
until
he's
in his
50s.
It will.
And he's already mastered the duck and cover, get rid of the ball. I mean, even though it resulted in two or three interceptions that he wouldn't have thrown in the NFC championship game in 2020, he knows how to get rid of the ball so he doesn't take a big hit.
Definitely.
And he's got the arm.
Yeah.
He can come back right now. I mean, how loose approximation. Would he be better than a third of the current starters right now without naming names?
Probably, yeah. I don't think that's like a I'd probably say that. You know, yes, his smarts, right? I mean, it's all going to be about what you kind of just talked about, taking hits and how's the movement, right? That's really what it's going to be, the legs. Can he stand in there, right, make throws, right? Or does he duck and chuck to such a point where now we don't even let plays develop and all that? But, like, the arm and the mind are going to be fine. It's all the other stuff. Are you willing to take a hit? Can you move and bounce around in the pocket and do that type of stuff? Right? But, yeah, I mean, you're saying it, right? I don't think there's going to be any issue with that. Brady's going to have a great arm when he's 68. I mean, he will. He'll be able to throw it forever. He's got that great natural motion that way.
I think of it this way. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, Chris. You've got six quarterbacks that are potential first rounders.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not six are taken in round one remains to be seen. You've got seven teams picking in the top 13 that got the red blinking sign they need a quarterback. So somebody is probably going to emerge from the first round of the draft saying, what are we going to do at quarterback? Oh, I know what we can do. We can call Tommy. So I think that The timing was not coincidental. As we've established, there are no accidents. He's putting his name out there for any team that is thinking about using draft assets. And look at it this way. I was saying this yesterday as well. Whoever you pick with your first-round selection, that is the equivalent of trading a first-round pick for that player. You are trading in your first-round pick for that player. So are you going to take a shot with a completely unproven guy, or are you close enough that you could say, maybe we can get Tom for a year and see where it goes? Maybe we should do that. I'm telling you. I don't think
think
it was something he just spontaneously
I hear you there. I'm not going to say you're crazy there. Now, I guess my feel would be that he wouldn't want to go through some of the stuff that you're talking about. I feel like it'd be more of like, I'm in shape. I stayed in shape. I don't want to go through training camp and all that. I want to know, like, kind of like what he said. Like, this team's a real contender here. There's a real chance. It's late November, and they're legit, and they need somebody like me, and that's the scenario. I don't know if he'd want to go through, team that needs quarterback that's not very great and all these issues, right? Is he going to want to do with that, then roll the dice of, well, I don't know if this team will be very good. I feel like he's at a point where if he did do it, it's going to be handpicked like, oh, crap. Right, it's the Chiefs and Mahomes, and they're awesome. They're sitting here, and they're 12-2, and he's hurt. Or, you know, maybe it wouldn't be that team, the Chiefs. It's some other team. You know the scenario I'm trying to throw out there. They're awesome. They're 12-2, and their starting quarterback's out for the year. That'd be the one I think he'd go, four more regular season games. I can get close to being pretty good for the playoffs, and then I could be, you know, clutch Tom Brady goat guy in the playoffs, and here we go, and maybe I can get another ring. That's kind of how I would envision it playing out.
But it complicates his life until he gets to that point.
He does.
It becomes a cloud that hovers over
now
the
it's
entire
everybody.
Season.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's his way of saying, yeah, give me a call if you're looking for a quarterback. Let's do this. Let's do this the right way. Let's do this like me going to Tampa. And if the team is generally in a spot where it meets his threshold of, I could make this team into a high-end contender, then let's go do it. It won't be the 49ers. I've seen some of the betting odds. The 49ers last year wanted him because Brock Purdy had the elbow surgery and they weren't sure he was going to be ready to go. There is no way in year three they're going to say to Brock Purdy, you take a seat for a year.
Yeah, after just going to the Super Bowl.
We're going to give Tom Brady a chance to get his eighth ring.
Exactly.
And fundamentally, that's, you know, I mean, number one, he still loves to play. He said that when he retired the second time. I still love the game. I still can play. He had other reasons that pulled him away from football last year. I feel like those reasons have been, you know, it's like we all deal with it. We've got, you know, the boiling pot. The boiling pot is under control. We put it on the back burner, and we can go on with other things. I think he's gotten to a point in his life where he can go on to other things, and he realizes, I can still play. Remember he said after he was named Sportsman of the Year in 2020, I don't want to retire and then have to see guys playing and say, they suck, I'm better than them. Well, guess what, Tom? It's part of your job now. Yeah. You're going to see guys every week. You're going to study film every week. You're going to be at practice every week watching guys that you look at and say, I'm better right now than those guys. Good luck with that. I think it's all coming together for him, Chris, and he's realizing what's on the horizon, and he doesn't like it. Wow. That's my attempt to psychoanalyze Tom Brady.
Okay. All right. I like it. Well, you do know his birthday, you know, so I don't know. You're a psycho fan there. Do you know Aaron Rodgers' birthday? Do you know that one?
December 12th?
Oh, okay. All right.
Something in December.
It's somewhere in December?
December,
okay. All right. You're close. What about your favorite quarterback, Kirk Cousins? Did you know his birthday when he was the coach?
It's in August.
It's in August.
He turns 36 in August. And I have to know these things as quarterback's age.
Yeah.
August something.
Do you know Sam Darnold's, your new Vikings quarterback? No, you didn't learn that one yet.
I know he's 26.
Yet. Okay. All right. That's good enough.
All right.
I will say this.
Look at Pete in all caps, big letters. Let's get to players who are actually playing.
Yeah, let's do it. I will say Gronk needs to. They should have made Gronk throw the pitch nonetheless. I like the Gronk spike. He should have still had to throw the pitch.
If you're going to do it,
come on.
You've got to throw it.
Right.
You got to see what you can do.
And do we have CJ?
It's a no-win situation.
No. Do we have a CJ Stroud video? Do we have that cut?
Let's see it.
I just want to see it. I mean, CJ Stroud.
It's a slow day. Let us have some fun. Go ahead. Put CJ Stroud.
He's got such a great arm. I want to see if he throws the baseball any different or what he does. Oh, he was real tight with it, just like the football. He didn't let it go all the way. All right. That was still a strike.
He's on the mound, though. Yep. On the mound.
Strike, and he threw it with pretty good pace.
Stand on the mound.
Yep.
It's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Foot on the rubber.
He doesn't have to worry about Tom Brady trying to take his job. Not a big windup.
No, that's what it was. Real tight, just like his football motion there.
I was watching the 50 Cent, the notorious 50 Cent throw. The problem was he was trying to actually simulate a pitcher.
Yeah.
And he did the big windup. And the problem is
right.
He let go of the ball way, way too early. It wasn't a bad throw. It was just, 50 feet from where it needed to be. Maybe he was just trying to pay homage to his name. 50 Cent, 50 feet. That should have been his explanation.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
9 days of the draft. Boom. Where is it? Let's go. Boom. 9 days, not 90 days. 9 days to the draft.
Boom,
draft
there it yesterday. Is.
Courtney had it up right away, boom. Pete. I don't know. You're boom. Slipping, boom. Pete.
There oh, yeah. Okay. Well, Courtney, she's right. got a little quicker. Clock. She's a better athlete than Pete. We know Courtney's quicker, quicker trigger fingers. She's just better that way. It's all right, Pete. Keep working.
All right, now on to the players who will actually be playing this year, although I believe there's a chance Tom Brady will actually be playing. Devontae Smith. And this is what the Eagles do. We've been talking so much about where the receiver market is and where it's going to go. They've got a guy who is 3 years in.
Yep.
Who
it's trending like
is eligible
this.
For a new deal.
Right.
We know the market is potentially going to explode.
Yeah.
Let's get this done before the market goes haywire. He gets an extension, 3 years. $75 million. Oh, that sounds familiar. Oh, that's the Tyreek Hill extension. 3 years, $75 million. So not a bad deal for Devontae Smith. Now, it's been 2 years since Hill got his money. The salary cap has gone up, but you get Justin Jefferson paid, you get Jamar Chase paid, you get Brandon Ayuk paid, and everything is going to change. $25 million a year, that's same as A.J. Brown from a couple of years ago. So it's a win-win. He gets his money now. He's not a big guy. He's got an injury risk.
Yep.
He's been healthy through his career so far, but still,
right.
You don't want to run the risk unnecessarily of getting yourself in a spot where you're not going to get that contract. He gets the second contract. When you factor in the two remaining years and what he would have made, it's actually 5 years, $18.799 million per year. That's keeping with the trend that we've been discussing recently. There's the new money average and the total value at signing. They ripped up the remaining deal. They have a new five-year contract. It's 5 years, $18.799. But still, he gets that $25 million per year average on the extension, which I think is a fair win-win, and it's smart because, as we've said, it's only going to go up. The longer you wait,
right.
more expensive it's going to get.
I mean, it's fair. It goes up. It's big money right away, right? If I remember, it's $51 million, right, Mike, in 2 years, right? Is that the number I remember, right?
Yeah.
So he's getting big
Which
money.
Which further explains why it's not an extension. It's
right.
not, oh, you finish these 2 years and then the extension kicks in. That never happens. It's torn up and you get a lot of money now. He gets a lot of money right now.
Right. I mean, it's of course, you said it right. But more than anything, I look at it. And yeah, Devontae Smith, right? A little frailer, has been healthy for the most part. Playing damn good football. You dangle money out there like that. I don't care who it is. It's like, whoa, that's $25 million a year for the next 2 years? That's hard to turn down, right? I mean, as we talked about yesterday and everything, that kind of number is top of the market type money for a receiver. It's at the very top, really. And when you break it down with the Fugazi last year, you know, the contract like you did yesterday so well. So that's where, you know, that's great for Devontae Smith. And then the Eagles just continue to show, and Howie Roseman, like we talked about at the Combine, what's your secret sauce? I don't want to tell you. Well, he's showing us what his secret sauce is. I mean, he's been showing us. It's just he's ahead of the game, whether it's trading assets or getting in front of contracts. And then he is the anti-Dallas guy who doesn't get stuck in a corner and goes, let me see one more year so now the guy can charge me $10 million more per year, right? That's the thing. I mean, and we're at a point here. Devontae Smith is special. He's a number one receiver. You put him one-on-one, he can run by anybody. It doesn't matter. I mean, we saw him run by L'Jarius Sneed in the Super Bowl. We've seen him do everything. He's a game changer that way. And his game is going this way. And then you got A.J. Brown who, hey, is that a part of his career where maybe it starts to plateau a little bit, right, in that 7-8 year part there? So they make an investment in the guy where they go, wait, we got one, and he's going upwards. I mean, I just can't get over them with this deal, the Jordan Mailata deal, and the Landon Dickerson deal, who are all top players at their position. They got out in front of them, and they're not going to have to pay a premium a year or two down the road like you talk about, and they're going to be in a much better position to build a team.
Yeah, look, let's not reside in our fears. Let's not wonder whether or not guys are going to get injured,
right,
and we're going to get stuck holding
the bag.
We got
one.
Let's pay these guys now. Let's take the injury risk off of them, because usually a guy who gets injured, misses the year, he's back the next year. Dak Prescott has that horrible broken ankle. He was back the next year. Guys are having career-ending injuries more rarely than before.
That's
I
right.
don't have the numbers. It's just a feeling
we know
you
it.
Get from following
That's
it
right.
every day, every week, every month, every year. So smart by the Eagles. Other teams would be smart to do what they're doing to hold their young talent together. And that brings us to the Dallas Cowboys, who have been, as I said last week, with all due respect, cheap, short-sighted, and not as smart as they think they are when it comes to dealing with their high-end young players. Both Michael Parsons and C.D. Lamb not present for the first day of voluntary offseason work. Now, this is the part where there will be people who say, well, it's voluntary. Oh, they don't have to be there. But we know how it goes. When everything is fine, when everything is, dare I say, hunky-dory between player and team, the player is there. The player shows up. They call it voluntary. We know it's really not. If you care about your craft, if you are longing for the opportunity to get back to football, you are there. And it's also smart because if you suffer an injury working out there, you're automatically covered no matter what. You work out on your own, they can mess with you if they choose to. So it's always smart to be there if you're going to be working out anyway. And it is noteworthy when guys stay away. That is their way of exerting leverage. Micah Parsons, as you have said, and I agree with you 100%, should not set foot on a football field anywhere, anytime, any place until he gets his new contract. And C.D. Lamb, who has 4 years of great performance, best year of his career in 2023, he's waiting for his. Neither is showing up. We knew that Lamb wasn't going to be there. I'm not surprised Parsons isn't there. And I'm not going to say, well, it's no big deal because it's voluntary. They are sending a message to the team because if they had their contracts, they'd be there.
Of course they would. Right. Exactly right. You know, I mean, again, it's, you know, maybe the first day some guys aren't there every now and then. But this is not the case here. I mean, this is a limited amount of days that you have to work as a football team in the offseason. Right. A team like the Dallas Cowboys, we know they need that. Right. They're not at the top of the mountain by any stretch of the imagination. Right. I mean, you're saying it right. This is a message. This is, you know, just like, hey, we're not following you on Instagram anymore, like Brandon Ayuk to the 49ers. This is how guys do business now. They're not going to go there and give the Cowboys their service where they feel like they're not being paid, you know, in the right way and rewarded the right way there. Micah Parsons, like, no way. Micah Parsons, like should never even come close to there until they go, here's your contract that's close to Nick Bosa as the highest paid defensive player in football. That's like, it's slam dunk. I mean, there's no negotiation there. That's an easy one. It's like, does he make more than Nick Bosa or does he make the exact same? That's where we're at with Micah Parsons. CeeDee Lamb, that one's going to be interesting. That is the Devontae Smith, I think, contract, right? I think, is going to help the Cowboys. The Cowboys are going to be like, wait, look at DeVonta Smith. Why can't you do that? Why do you, like, you know, DeVonta Smith, he averaged just as many yards per catch as you did last year. It's just they had A.J. Brown, so he didn't get as many balls as you. That's the only difference. Why not do that? In fact, DeVonta Smith runs by people for 70-yard bombs. You don't do that, right? So that's where the CeeDee Lamb one's going to be tough, I think. But Micah Parsons should be writing on the wall, duh, we're making him the highest-paid player in the league on the defensive side of the ball.
Hey, the easiest thing to do for CeeDee Lamb would be, we'll give you 3 years, $75 million. Now they got to work out the structure, but 3 years, $75 on top of the 1 year at 17.99 works out to 4 years.
I would think
$23.2 million.
I would think that would work
right in that mix.
Right.
You know, we were talking yesterday. The best contracts right now: Michael Pittman, 3 years, $70 million. Stephon Diggs with 1 year at 22.5, and Calvin Ridley with 3 years, I think, or 4 years, $92 million. This would put CeeDee Lamb right in that range, give him the same extension that DeVonta Smith got, work out a structure that gets him a lot of money now, and then 4 years from now, he's up for another contract. He's not tied up for 5 or 6 years. That would be easy to do. It would be easy to do. They should have done it by now, though. That's the thing. Cheap, short-sighted, and not as smart as they think they are. Meanwhile, others like the Eagles are taking care of their players,
Yeah. Keeping
your guys happy, and avoiding these storylines. And I know that Jerry Jones loves to have the Cowboys as the center of attention.
Not these
ones. I don't
think
this is the kind of attention that you want.
Exactly right. Yeah, he wasn't looking for this kind of attention here this year. This is what he's going to get, right? Because, I think there's, to your point, right? I mean, hey, they knew they wanted CeeDee Lamb and wanted to keep CeeDee Lamb. Why didn't they offer him something after the end of last year? They could have dangled the contract out there that probably would have been, you know, fair for both sides and not top of the market, and CeeDee Lamb probably would have took it, just like the Eagles are kind of doing. They're a year ahead of the curve here, right? And that's why the Eagles are, you know, widely viewed as the most well-run organization in football and certainly one of the best teams in football. But, yeah, I'm with you, Mike. That would be interesting. And, again, that's where I don't know that part, right? I sometimes have a feel for what guys are asking by hearing through the league or whatever else. I haven't heard the CeeDee Lamb expectation from anybody or what's the number he's looking for. I don't know. Maybe you have. Did a Shefty or anybody tweet that out? I haven't seen that. I haven't heard it. I don't know. But I think it's fair between him and DeVonta Smith. I mean, you look at their career, it's the same. It's the same stats. It's the same guy. And I would tell you that really in some ways, hey, I mean, Dak Prescott, pocket passer, is more conducive to the receiver having bigger numbers, right? It's just DeVonta Smith had to share the ball with A.J. Brown. I would think the Cowboys stand on that and go, hey, look at DeVonta Smith. Look at you. It's not very different. Well, here's his deal. And like you said, how about take that same deal? I could see that being a conversation today.
And one of the realities is because of all the different factors and variables, there are ways to massage it and present it to make it seem like a pretty damn good fair deal. So I think that should be. And whatever the Cowboys are doing, and who the hell knows, they're all in. That's all we know. And we know they're not actually doing that. But they should be taking every contract that comes at the position. The Pittman, Ridley, and now Smith contract.
Yeah.
And figure out how to make that
right
into whatever will work with CeeDee Lamb. That's the Cowboys side of it. And we haven't talked about Parsons. I haven't. I agree with you. He's just going to be the highest paid defensive player at some point.
Right.
The question is, when do you do it? Let's do it now before there's somebody else that drives it up even higher. Let's go ahead and make him the highest paid player in the NFL on the defensive side. And I hope that we can, you know, hold that in place for a few years before he comes back around and says, I need an adjustment, because this guy right now is the absolute platinum standard, best defensive player in the NFL. And I'll due respect to T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
I know that Watt was the defensive player of the year and Garrett was dominant last year and they had like three guys on him everywhere he went. But Parsons is the guy who can do it all. He can come at you from any angle. He can destroy a game. And one of the problems is they have him do so much, it somehow, I think, dilutes his production.
Yeah, his bottom line stats.
Because he's carrying
sometimes
so much.
Right, right. I would agree. Right? He does do more. He's stand-up linebacker. They move him here. He's that defensive tackle rushing, doing all that.
right? So it is a little bit different. They use him more as a chess piece maybe than Miles Garrett or T.J. Watt, who get to be in a groove all the time, just setting up kind of one or two guys over and over and over again, right? And that's where, you know, there is something to that. But, I mean, I think you're saying it, right? They're T.J. Watt, Micah Parsons, they're in a class of their own, you know, on defense. Miles Garrett, those type of guys. And, yeah, for my money, Micah Parsons is the guy. That'd be the guy. If you asked me one guy I could pick on defense in the NFL right now to start my team, I would start with him. And, I mean, I just – if I'm Dallas, I'm trying to get this done because you look at the stats we got up here. You look at the player. I mean, to me, you're in danger of, oh, yeah, it's year four. Micah Parsons gets 20.5 sacks, and now he blows the market out of the water and he wants $40 million a year next year. Or something even more than that. And that's where I think they got to be careful, because that's what it looks like it's coming here. Micah Parsons just continues to get better and better as a pass rusher. I know it says 14 sacks, right? But I think per, you know, pass rush attempt, nobody put more pressure on the quarterback in football last year than Micah Parsons. But he gets to drop in coverage. He plays stand-up linebacker. He does some of that. And that dilutes his stats, to your point, Mike, which I think is a very real good point by you.
Another guy whose stats have never been diluted. When he plays at a high level. Vikings receiver Justin Jefferson. They tried to get him signed to a second contract before the 2023 regular season began. That ultimately did not happen. Now he's entering fifth year. The option, good money. Not as good as T. Higgins as the franchise tag player. We'll talk about him in a minute. But still, the Vikings trying to get something done. Jefferson not present for the first day of offseason workouts. Here is head coach Kevin O'Connell talking about his star receiver.
Are you anticipating having Justin here for any of the offseason stuff?
Yeah, I don't. I'm really not anticipating whether, you know, taking it a day at a time. And I know I've had a lot of great dialogue with Justin throughout even the early part of this offseason and leading up. So, you know, my hope is we can get him around the team. He's obviously such a special player, but it goes beyond that, especially this time of year, because of just the energy and the flat-out way he comes in when he's in this building and he goes to work and how his teammates respond to him. He is not here today, you know, we'll remains to be seen kind of what the rest of the program looks like.
Just get the guy paid. Like, again, every day you wait, it's going to get more expensive. What are you waiting for? And it makes me think that he's potentially in play if they get some opportunity to make some move that is going to blow us all away, and they're going to go up to number two and get Jaden Daniels, or dare I say, go all the way to number one and get Caleb Williams, although that would make no sense for the Bears now that they've got both Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. But I just feel like, and I said this last year, going into the 2023 season.
Yeah.
It's Kirk Cousins' last year,
right?
Although I ultimately came to the point where I wished it wasn't. And if they don't sign Justin Jefferson to a contract before the start of the 2023 regular season, he is in play for a potential trade that would allow the Vikings to get their first true franchise quarterback since Fran Tarkenton retired in the late 70s. And that still isn't done yet. Until they get a deal done with Justin Jefferson, that is a possibility. Even though they say, oh, we have no intent to trade Justin Jefferson, it's still a possibility. And, like, what are you waiting for at this point, Minnesota Vikings? If you want this guy, get it done. It's only going to get more expensive. Why would you want to wait? Look at all the teams that signed their franchise tag players before the start of offseason workouts. Why? They're in the building. They're helping us get ready for the coming season. So, if you're going to pay the guy anyway, just pay him now. Just get it done. Do what you have to do to get it done. And we've got 9 days. Counter was up. If he's going to be traded, it's going to happen in the next 9 days. And it's going to be to, I would say, the Commanders or the Patriots to allow the Vikings to go up to number two or number three. And I sure as hell wouldn't use him in a deal to go up to number three. I'd want to go all the way up to number two and get Jaden Daniels if I'm giving up Justin Jefferson at this point.
Definitely.
And I'm not saying they're going to.
Right.
I'm not saying they should. All I'm saying is, damn it, if you want this guy, quit dicking around and pay him.
I mean, you know I agree with you, right? Now, the weird one with Justin Jefferson, and I know you've heard this, and I've heard this as well, that they made him a deal, right, before the start of last year that was going to still make him the highest paid receiver in football then, right? It feels like Justin Jefferson wants a contract that wants to blow the market away, right? A contract that makes Mike Florio redo his article on receiver money and go, oh crap, look at this. This one really is $30 million a year or $32 million a year. It feels that's what, like, if I pay attention to the landscape of the NFL, that's what it is. Now, I don't know that for sure. I haven't heard from anybody directly in the Minnesota Vikings or his agent or anything like that that makes me believe that, but it just feels that way from what we heard last year. Now here we are to this point. The Jamar Chase thing, I think, complicates things as well. I do think that's very real, that Justin Jefferson wants to make sure he's paid a little bit more than Jamar Chase. I think that's a real competition and a, you know, status symbol type of thing there. But, I mean, yes, pay him. Special. I mean, come on. This is one of the most incredible guys in our league right now. I think it's a no-brainer.
And I think you're onto something, too, because, look, I was poking around about this after the Super Bowl when we had Justin Jefferson with us. Where the hell were we this year?
We're in Las Vegas. Damn, you are getting
Las Vegas.
Oh.
It's starting.
That's like, twice in 2 days. You've forgotten where the hell you're talking about, what you're doing.
Sorry, Phil. I'm doing my best. Anyway, I'm trying to think of how I can properly word this, but I started poking around, and some of the pushback was, do you know what he turned down? Which tells me that the Vikings think they made him a more than fair offer.
Those are kind of the things
I've heard.
They
really don't know what to do at this point.
Right.
You know, when Shefty puts out there he turned down $30 million a year, that's not something that his side is putting out there.
Exactly.
That's the kind of stuff that the team puts out there to justify their failure to get the deal done.
Right.
Don't blame us. We offered him $30 million per year. Now, that was probably $30 million per year in new money, but still – it would be a healthy deal, and it wouldn't be a fugazi $30 million per year like that 45 final year from Tyreek Hill that drives the number up dramatically. It's probably a real 30, but the issue has been structure. I think they're going to have to guarantee the first 3 years of the deal, and they don't want to do it. To that, I say, you better do it.
Yeah.
Look, you pulled a ticket in the draft that is a lottery in 2020, and you got a winner. What are you going to do with that winner? And we know how it works in this game. When you get the big winner, when you win the jackpot, it means you've got to pay the jackpot to the player. That's what you got to do. So what are you going to do? You're going to do what the Titans did? You're going to trade him and draft another receiver? You got lucky when Stephon Diggs wanted out, and then, boom, you get Justin Jefferson. That's not going to happen again. Last time they did that, it was Randy Moss out and Troy Williamson in. Who's Troy Williamson? Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right.
So no, don't play that game.
Right.
Don't play that game.
Yep.
Unless the strategy is, okay, we're going to trade him, and this is going to get us Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels. And it's not going to get him Caleb Williams, but maybe it could get him Jaden Daniels. Maybe that would be the case. But whoever would trade for him is going to have to pay him. Somebody's going to have to pay him. And he deserves it. He clearly deserves it. So, the bottom line for the Vikings is the longer you wait, it's not going to get cheaper. It's only going to get more expensive.
Yeah.
And I think his camp would take DeVonta Smith's deal and make all the arguments as to why DeVonta Smith getting what he got supports Justin Jefferson, who is clearly better, getting whatever he's looking for.
Yeah, I probably. You're right. He could use it to go, wait, I mean, DeVonta Smith is really good. Right? The numbers, they're like C.D. Lamb. Here's mine. It's a different stratosphere. Welcome to Justin Jeffersonville. Time to pay up. I mean, I'm with you there, too. And, you know, to me, like, hey, you by all due accounts, I think we all think they're in the market for a quarterback and trying to figure that out. I mean, what a better way to start a new quarterback's run with your football team than to have a support system like Justin Jefferson and KJ Osborne and get that going with an offensive coach and make one side of the ball so elite and so strong, like the early days of Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, that it makes the other team kind of bend the whole way they play because they're like, whoa, they're so good here. We're actually, our offense has to play differently because their offense is so good. You know, there's something to that. We've talked about that in the past, having one unit so elite that it changes the way every team plays you. But all I know is this right now. We are in a league right now that is still a passing league. We know that. And we are seeing here in recent history that, you know, wide receiver play is pretty conducive to teams going to the Super Bowl. There's only one guy so far that's shown me he can go to the Super Bowl and win that game without top-notch receivers in modern-day football, and that's number 15 in red. That's the only guy. And he's got some other things that help do that, but he's magical. But you go to anybody else, Rams, it's Cooper Kupp and Stafford and OBJ, right? They got that working. We talked, the Bengals were in that Super Bowl. The Eagles, of course, the Bucks went in the Super Bowl with those receivers. The 49ers in the Super Bowl with those receivers, right? That's where we are in the league right now. Receivers, the top quality ones there, the top teams, they got guys like that. You know, you can even go to the championship games this past year. So, yeah, there's something to be said about that, and that's where I think there's great value when you know you got one and you don't want to be doing the neck twitch like Mike Vrabel getting rid of this guy. I wouldn't want to do that.
And, you know, people may be hearing me muse about the possibility of the Commanders trading for Justin Jefferson. Well, what, they clearly need a quarterback. It's not going to be Marcus Mariota. Well, they'd come out of it with the 11th overall pick, and they would take a guy there or move up the board from 11. You know, just because you move down, you're not stuck there.
Yeah.
You can move down to 11, right, and then you can come back up and get Drake May or whoever is
exactly
still on the board,
right,
if you're willing to not take Jaden Daniels, if that's who the Vikings decide they want and they're willing to give up Justin Jefferson, one LSU guy, to get another LSU guy. But until they get the deal done, this, it's crazy to think a trade isn't in play for Justin Jefferson, because why else would you be waiting to do the deal? We're going to talk later in the show about quarterbacks that potentially will end up in Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell talked about that yesterday. Before we pivot, though, we have a photo of,
you brought it up,
a couple of all-time greats.
Well, you brought it up, so I couldn't help it.
I'm happy to see it. Fran Tarkenton, born February 3rd, 1940. How about that?
All right, so when was Phil born?
Not February 3rd, 1940.
All right. Get your Phil knowledge up. November 3rd, 1955.
He didn't play for the Vikings.
I know.
He made that throw on fourth down in 1986, and I decided at that point I hate Phil Simms.
All right. Sounds good. That sounds like a football fan to me. We'll take
it. I've since come around.
Yeah.
I like Phil Simms now.
Big Phil. I you brought up Fran Tarkenton, and I was like, oh, man. So my dad and my family, they were at the Breakers in Florida, right, in Palm Beach last week. And my mom just one afternoon sent me a picture of these two. And I was like, oh, my gosh, look at that. Damn, Fran Tarkenton and Phil Simms. Old-timers. The old-timers together there in the Breakers Hotel. Like, some for real old-timers right there. But it was pretty cool,
well,
to see.
I know,
that.
But Phil's not even 70 yet. Hey, Fran is 84.
Damn.
I will take,
woo,
that at,
right,
84.
Wow, he looks,
if
good,
if I look
for
like Fran Tarkenton at 84,
seriously,
I will cash that ticket in a heartbeat. And I remember back during the lockout in 2011, we had him on this program back when it was a digital production at lunchtime. I mean, he wanted to go in and clunk heads together in the room and get this done. He's going to go in there and he's going to solve this problem.
Right.
My God, the guy's full of energy. One of the all-time greats.
Yep.
Fran Tarkenton. Great, great photo. And always good to see Fran. And every time I run into Bob Hagen, who had been the main spokesperson for the Vikings for years and is still involved with the team, he's like, you need to get Fran on your show. Maybe we do need it. Maybe we need to get Fran on.
Yeah,
maybe we,
right,
need to have Fran,
Fran, I mean, Fran's, he's a good talker. He's very open. And he's getting to that age where, you know, you just don't give a damn anymore. So he might say some crazy stuff that we love.
You're already at that age. You've got 40 more years.
Yeah, I'll be trouble when I get to that age. Nobody's going to want me on TV.
Here's my Fran Tarkenton trivia that may or may not be true, but it sticks in my brain. Now, this is the guy who just a few minutes ago didn't remember where he was for 10 days.
Yeah, right.
2 months ago.
Right.
But If I recall correctly, I read a biography of Fran Tarkenton at one point, and I think it was from one of those books in the punt, pass, and kick library. It may have been Little Men of the NFL because he's not real big, although he looks decent size standing next to Phil. I don't know if that's an optical illusion or what, but when he played in Athens, Georgia in high school, there was a game that he was involved in that was a tie, and the tiebreaker then was simply whoever gained more yards wins the game.
Wow.
What the hell is that?
Wow.
I remember thinking at the time, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
I could be completely wrong in my recollection, but that's something I recall from reading something about Fran Tarkenton in my formative years. Never mind the fact that I did not remember we were in Las Vegas for 10 days when we were talking about it a few minutes ago. And yes, that's bothering me.
Good. I'm glad it is bothering you.
Here's something that possibly is bothering Zach Taylor, head coach of the Bengals, although it shouldn't. He said he won't speculate on the plans for T. Higgins, franchise-tagged receiver, to participate in the offseason program. He's been franchise-tagged, and he hasn't accepted the tender. He is no more an employee of the Bengals right now, Chris, than you or me. That's where this whole, oh, it's voluntary, and I push back on Owen's voluntary, that's where that ends. There's no reason for T. Higgins to be there. He hasn't accepted the offer. He is exercising his prerogative to stay away from voluntary, mandatory. He can stay away from training camp. He can stay away from preseason. He can show up literally days before the start of the regular season and get his full $21.8 million. Guys have done that in the past. That is how you exert leverage when you're trying to get a team to give you the deal you're looking for.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's again, the player only has a certain few like avenues and ways and tools that they can negotiate and get leverage. This is one of them, right? This is one though that like I always look at it. I feel like we say this every year. I do want to be like, you know, no, let's not wait too long. Sign the damn thing. It's still $21 million. Let's not risk anything else, right? I'm pro player that way. Right, you don't have to go in even if you sign the tender, right? But protect yourself. That would be the biggest thing for me. I think it protects yourself in a lot of different ways, and that's where I would hope T. Higgins does it sooner rather than later. I feel like we talk about this with one guy almost every offseason.
Well, I can't imagine they'd rescind the tender. Remember last year we were actively arguing to Tony Pollard through this platform.
Yes, right.
Go sign your tender.
Right.
What happened?
He did it
the next day. He signed his tender the next day.
Right.
Because, I mean, $10 million coming off of a broken ankle at the running back position? Right. Are you kidding me? For T. Higgins, 21-8, I don't know if they'd make him – it's an interesting question. If they would make him a free agent right now, and knowing what we know about the truth of the receiver market, all the fugazi numbers, and it's really in the range of 23 per year, 23 and a half, 24 per year – you take away that fully guaranteed 21-8, I don't know what he's getting right now. Who's held back the money right now where they could go and sign him? Who's got the need that they haven't addressed? You know, the Browns wanted him, but Deshaun Watson was saying how he wants him, but they traded for Jerry Jeudy and paid him.
Right.
So they're off the board.
Yeah.
I you know, it's an interesting philosophical question. If they, I don't know that philosophical was the right word, but I'll go with it. If the Bengals would remove the franchise tag right now from T. Higgins, what would he get on the open market?
Yeah, it is a good question. I think it's, you know, I think it's their top of the market type of money. I do. I think it's close, right? I'm not sure it like stands alone by itself, but I think it would dance around the other top numbers we saw and discussed yesterday, right? Where, hey, it's not top of the market. It's close to it. You're a really good number one, but not a proven superstar number one yet. The market's continuing to go up, so you'll be left behind, but you're towards the top here right now, right? I feel like that's what it would be, right? Somewhere like close to what he's getting with the franchise tag. That's where it's, to me, you know, he should feel a little differently than maybe, you know, a CeeDee Lamb or Devontae Smith, like you've talked about with the fifth-year option and all that kind of crap, which is just a different number altogether compared to the franchise tag. But yeah, that would be kind of my spidey senses take on that, Mike.
I can't imagine that any teams would have a concern that T. Higgins would be like an Alvin Harper peerless price. You know, you get away from Ja'Marr Chase,
right?
And you can't be a number one guy. We've kind of accepted, and I think he's proven, it's 1A and 1B, or 1A and Cincinnati.
Right. We saw the Minnesota game, right, on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, just let's go back down memory lane there, Slugger.
I was on a plane.
Right? Jamar Chase wasn't playing in that game, if I remember correctly. Who
got injured?
Who tore you guys up that afternoon? I mean, he just, what did he do? 180, 160? What was it that day? Do you remember exactly? I mean, it was up there. It was big numbers.
It was a strong performance that fueled a victory that helped grease the skids for the Vikings to not make it to the playoffs. Not that they would have made it past the wild card round, but at least it would have been something to show for a strange roller coaster season. But yes, he made the great catch at the end zone to tie the game up, I believe. Again, I was on a plane to New York, so I didn't have to experience.
I'm a little low. It was 4 for 61 with 2 touchdowns.
Angry text messages from my son once we landed
right
in New York. What T. Higgins had done.
Yeah, so, 4 for 61, 2 touchdowns. And, yeah, he scored that late touchdown to tie the football game to ultimately the Bengals put the dagger in the Minnesota Vikings.
It's been 8 years since a team has rescinded the franchise tag. The Panthers did it to Josh Norman after Super Bowl 50. In April, not long before the draft, and Washington swooped in and gave him a major contract. I don't know. I don't think the Bengals would.
They want this. They want Higgins. They want one more run at the Super Bowl with this group, and they're trying to figure it out. I think you said that yesterday, and I agree with you. This is more about keep it together one more year because we got something good. And, like, they're a little bit of that team. We're so elite on this side of the ball when we start going. We can make you play a different way because we're so good with Burrow, Chase, and Higgins and company.
All right, let's take a break. When we return from the Bengals to the Chiefs, Rashee Rice not present for the offseason program for very different reasons. Will he be in Kansas City given the charges pending against him? That's next here on this Tuesday edition of PFT Live.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.